Drift is made free to you by our friends at Sierra Sil. Why try these Canadian-made all-natural supplements? Because with a money-back guarantee, you will notice a difference in your joint pain, and you have everything to gain. Learn more at Sierra, like the mountains, and Sil, like silicon. SierraSil.com, and if you use the code DRIFT, get 10% off. Well, hello, I'm Erin, and welcome to Drift. We love to share with you tales that will put you to sleep, or at least in a very sleepy space. Stories that take you to a faraway land, or let your mind drift to a place of peace, of serenity. Tonight, I'm happy to share with you two tales from the same beloved author who brought us The Little Mermaid and The Emperor's New Clothes. Just a pair of the many tales that you can enjoy here with me on Drift. I'm bringing you these stories so that you may be sure to fall asleep before the gentle waves you can sink into at the end of these two tales. I want to thank NB Pillow for making all of our Drift stories free for you to listen to. It's a Canadian company started by two RNs who saw a need for a special kind of wrinkle-preventing pillow for patients having dermatological or cosmetic work. Kathy and Kim have embraced not only aging gracefully, but comfort for us all, with only the finest elements like antimicrobial copper and ingredients in each of their products that back up their planet-friendly ethics. Find it all at envypillow.com, envypillow.com, and use the code word DRIFT for 10% off your purchase. And sleep with the best. Now, before we help you drift into that much-deserved rest, let's take a few minutes to relax, to make sure you're in the right head and body space to receive. First, with a deep breath in and out. And now again, but this time as you exhale, feeling your body sinking into your bed, your recliner, your couch, or wherever you are right now. Be here with me, because there's nothing else more important than your rest for you and for everyone you help day in and day out. As you breathe deeply now, concentrate on your feet, making them feel heavy and limp. Then your calves, your thighs, your backside. Is your back feeling heavy too? Imagine the indentation you're making, like you're lying on a bed of foam, maybe you are, or the softest, thickest cloud your mind can conjure. Now to your belly. Let it relax and fill up with every cleansing breath. Move up to your chest. Can you hear your heartbeat? It should be nice and slow by now. Is your neck relaxed, or is it still holding up that often busy head of yours? Let's drop your shoulders into the mattress or chair. Your arms are limp and in just the right position. And your hands, wiggle your fingers and wave goodbye to the cares of your day. Let's move to your head now. Let your jaw relax completely. Rest your tongue. Close your eyes heavily, and let your eyebrows rest as well. Finally, just let your head feel heavy on your pillow or on your arm, and take a deep breath in and out. You're getting good at this. And just once more now, another inhale. And this time, as you exhale, think these words. I am safe. I am loved. I am at peace. And if you're ready, let's drift. Our first story of two, this time, as I mentioned, is The Leapfrog, written by Hans Christian Andersen. And here we go. A flea, a grasshopper, and a leapfrog once wanted to see which could jump highest. And they invited the whole world, and everybody else besides, who chose to come to see the festival. Three famous jumpers were they, as everyone would say, when they all met together in the room. "I will give my daughter to him who jumps highest," exclaimed the king, "for it is not so amusing where there is no prize to jump for." The flea was the first to step forward. He had exquisite manners, and bowed to the company on all sides, for he had noble blood, and was, moreover, accustomed to the society of man alone, and that makes a great difference. Then came the grasshopper. He was considerably heavier, but he was well-mannered and wore a green uniform, which he had by right of birth. He said, moreover, that he belonged to a very ancient Egyptian family, and that in the house where he was just then, he was thought much of. The fact was, he had been just brought out of the fields and put in a pasteboard house, 3 stories high, all made of playing cards, with the colored side inwards, and doors and windows cut out of the body of the Queen of Hearts. "I sing so well," said he, "that 16 native grasshoppers who have chirped from infancy, and yet got no house built of cards to live in, grew thinner than they were before, for sheer vexation, when they heard me." It was thus that the flea and the grasshopper gave an account of themselves, and thought they were quite good enough to marry a princess. The leapfrog said nothing, but people gave it as their opinion that he was therefore a very thoughtful creature. And when the house dog snuffed at him with his nose, he confessed the leapfrog was of good family. The old counselor, who had 3 orders given him to make him hold his tongue, asserted that the leapfrog was a prophet, and that one could see on his back if there were to be a severe or mild winter, and that was what one could not even see on the back of the man who writes the almanac. "I say nothing, it is true," exclaimed the king, "but I have my own opinion, notwithstanding." Now the trial was to take place. The flea jumped so high that nobody could see where he went to, so they all asserted that he had not jumped at all. Oh, and that was dishonorable. The grasshopper jumped only half as high, but he leapt into the king's face, who said that was ill-mannered. The leapfrog stood still for a long time, lost in thought. It was believed at last he would not jump at all. "I only hope he is not unwell," said the house dog, when pop, he made a jump all on one side into the lap of the princess, who was sitting on a little golden stool close by. Hereupon the king said, "There is nothing above my daughter, therefore to bound up to her is the highest jump that can be made. But for this, one must possess understanding, and the leapfrog has shown that he has understanding. He is brave and intellectual." And so he won the princess. "It's all the same to me," said the flea. "She may have the old leapfrog for all I care. I jumped the highest, but in this world, merit seldom meets its reward. A fine exterior is what people look at nowadays." The flea then went into foreign service, where, it is said, he was killed. The grasshopper sat outside on a green bank and reflected on worldly things. And he said, too, "Yes, a fine exterior is everything. A fine exterior is what people care about." And then he began chirping his peculiar melancholy song, from which we have taken this history, and which may very possibly be all untrue, although it does stand here, printed in black and white. Also printed in black and white, and hopefully brought to you in the colors of your dreams, on Drift, is our next story, this one sad and sweet, and called The Little Match Girl by Hans Christian Andersen. Most terribly cold it was. It snowed and was nearly quite dark, the last evening of the year. In this cold and darkness, there went along the street a poor little girl, bareheaded and with naked feet. When she left home, she had slippers on, it is true. But what was the good of that? They were very large slippers, which her mother had hitherto worn, so large were they. And the poor little thing lost them as she scuffled away across the street, because of two carriages that rolled by dreadfully fast. One slipper was nowhere to be found. The other had been laid hold of by an urchin, and he ran off with it. He thought it would do capitally for a cradle when he some day or other should have children himself. So the little maiden walked on with her tiny naked feet that were quite red and blue from cold. She carried a quantity of matches in an old apron, and she held a bundle of them in her hand. Nobody had bought anything of her the whole livelong day. No one had given her a single farthing. She crept along, trembling with cold and hunger, a very picture of sorrow, the poor little thing. The flakes of snow covered her long, fair hair, which fell in beautiful curls around her neck. But of that, of course, she never once now thought. From all the windows the candles were gleaming, and it smelt so deliciously of roast goose. For you know, it was New Year's Eve. Yes, of that she thought. In a corner formed by two houses, of which one advanced more than the other, she seated herself down and cowered. Her little feet she had drawn close up to her, but she grew colder and colder. To go home, she did not venture, for she had not sold any matches and could not bring a farthing of money. From her father, she would certainly get a lambasting. And at home it was cold, too, for above her she had only the roof through which the wind whistled, even though the largest cracks were stopped up with straw and rags. Her little hands were almost numbed with cold. Oh, a match might afford her a world of comfort, if she only dared take a single one out of the bundle, draw it against the wall, and warm her fingers by it. She drew one out. How it blazed! How it burnt! It was a warm, bright flame, like a candle, as she held her hands over it. What a wonderful light! It really seemed to the little maiden as though she were sitting before a large iron stove with burnished brass feet and a brass ornament at top. The fire burned with such blessed influence. It warmed so delightfully. The little girl had already stretched out her feet to warm them, too. But the small flame went out. The stove vanished. She had only the remnants of the burnt-out match in her hand. She rubbed another against the wall. It burned brightly, and where the light fell on the wall, there the wall became transparent like a veil, so that she could see into the room. On the table was spread a snow-white tablecloth. Upon it was a splendid porcelain service, and the roast goose was steaming famously with its stuffing of apple and dried plums. And what was still more capital to behold was the goose hopped down from the dish and reeled about on the floor till it came up to the poor little girl. When the match went out and nothing but the thick, cold, damp wall was left behind, she lit another match. Now there she was, sitting under the most magnificent Christmas tree. It was still larger and more decorated than the one which she had seen through the glass door in the rich merchant's house. Thousands of lights were burning on the green branches, and happily colored pictures, such as she had seen in the shop windows, looked down upon her. The little maiden stretched out her hands towards them when the match went out. The lights of the Christmas tree rose higher and higher. She saw them now as stars in heaven. One fell down and formed a long trail of fire. "Someone has just passed," said the little girl, for her old grandmother, the only person who had loved her, and who was now no more, had told her that when a star falls, a soul ascends to heaven. She drew another match against the wall. It was again light, and in the luster there stood the old grandmother, so bright and radiant, so mild, and with such an expression of love. "Grandmother," cried the little one, "oh, take me with you. You go away when the match burns out. You vanish like the warm stove, like the delicious roast goose, and like the magnificent Christmas tree." And she rubbed the whole bundle of matches quickly against the wall, for she wanted to be quite sure of keeping her grandmother near her. And the matches gave such a brilliant light that it was brighter than at noonday. Never before had the grandmother been so beautiful and so tall. She took the little maiden on her arm, and both flew in brightness and in joy, so high, so very high. And then above was neither cold, nor hunger, nor anxiety. They were in heaven. But in the corner, at the cold hour of dawn, sat the poor girl, with rosy cheeks and a smile on her mouth, leaning against the wall, having frozen in her sleep on the last evening of the old year. Still and peaceful sat the child there with her matches, of which one bundle had been burnt. She wanted to warm herself, people said. No one had the slightest suspicion of what beautiful things she had seen. No one even dreamed of the splendor in which, with her grandmother, she had entered on the joys of a new year. And with that, a happy ending of a different sort, with thanks once more to Hans Christian Andersen, I will wish you a good night and sweet dreams.